This is HMS All Access.
Welcome to HMS All Access. I'm your host, Charlie Wolf, and this is your backstage pass to the greatest morning show in the world. On this week's episode, we talk about Amelia Earhart, old-timey hashtags, and vacations. You go back in time with This Week in HMS History, and we've got another installment of Breaking Brady. Let's get right down to it. So your girl Amelia Earhart was in the news. Well, not really in the news, I guess, but there's like the newfound photo. They say it's her.
Yeah.
Have you seen this photo?
I saw the. There's supposedly two pictures. I've seen one.
No way.
Yeah.
I'm not buying it.
You don't think so?
No
way.
Now,
the one thing about her, not like I see the picture and you're like, okay, maybe, maybe not. The dude that she's with,
yeah,
he's in the photo.
Yeah, it looks like. Definitely
like,
looks like
him.
It.
The second picture supposedly has her plane in it.
Yeah, I didn't
see that one yet.
I didn't see that one either, but
either way, complete failure. Again, worse, captured by the Japanese because she didn't know where else to land, so she just threw it down on the first runway she saw, which happened to be a Japanese military base. And then they kept her ass alive for a couple of years. Now, normally they'd have just killed her or strung her up or used her as ransom, but she was such a fountain of information. So many secrets came pouring out of her useless ass. I think from 19... Because they say she crashed in 37.
Yep.
And in 39, they're pretty sure she was still there. If what the news story is, holds, Amelia Earhart's still in. Then they attack in 41.
Yep. Pearl Harbor.
She knew all the details of something. She spilled like nobody's business.
She had to have died in a much worse way than it originally we thought.
Bukkake.
You know, she's crashed, you know, died. No, not
they bukkake her.
Bukkake.
Japan.
That's
they bukkake her to
girl.
Death. No, they got her.
But no, that had to have been so much worse than just crash landing. I'm just looking at the picture and I just don't really buy it.
That it's
I'm
her?
I'm just like, yeah, like her face, she's her back is to the camera. She's sort of like, you don't even really see half of her face. And the one guy in there, yeah, sure, it looks like
that
the
looks
dude
like
that
the
was
dude.
Her,
they did
her
facial
partner,
recognition
but,
stuff.
Yeah, I know, but
and,
I'm not buying it.
But they also said that they found the photograph in an old box of records that was mislabeled. And there's certain like rumors that say that the U.S. government knew exactly what Amelia Earhart had happened.
Oh, yeah.
And they made her, you know, she was a figurehead. She was right. Just.
Well, they were saying that it could have been, the picture could have been taken by a spy who was a U.S. spy. Well, no, not her as a spy.
I know,
but
deep down she was a spy.
A U.S. spy spying on right. Japan at the time because we were not friendly with them, obviously leading up into World War II. So they were spying. They took the picture and they're like, oh, check this out. It's Amelia Earhart. And they just, instead of, you know, making it known that we knew she was there to protect the spy that kept it under wraps.
We got all this shit brewing in the Pacific, right, with Japan and the Marshall Islands, and we kind of got Hawaii now. We don't have it as a state yet, but it's kind of, we're going to use this.
Yeah.
We're kind of taking it over, and we're keeping our eyes on Japan. There's no fucking way we send some broad, just like, yay, have a party and send her. We just want a woman to go, no way. She had a mission. That's why there was a man on board as the navigator, and they used her as a beard as this novelty act that's just some girl pilot floating around. That was not necessary at the time, ever. So, and they didn't want women to succeed in anything. Why was there this movement? It wasn't like Hillary was present. They didn't ever say, like, if a woman ever stood up and said, I want to try too, they'd be, shut the fuck up, lady. She couldn't even vote, like, for, like, 10 years prior to that.
Yeah.
So, all of a sudden, a woman wanting to do something and being funded, that never happened unless there was something going on. So the whole thing's all veiled in this secrecy. The government had an objective for her, and she got captured by the Japs. That makes sense to me, because if you look at the investigation, it was 11 days. And then 14 days, they closed it. But in 11 days, they're like, can't find her, fuck it, who cares? They didn't care at all to find this lady who was a national treasure, evidently.
Well, they didn't. They declared her dead 2 years later. So I'm
Two years later, they declared her dead because they knew she was in that Japanese camp. They declared her dead. They weren't investigating it. Look, they use words like this a lot. We'll look for her for a fortnight, and that's all. And that's all they ever fucking looked. And then you'd have to. And then privately, they started to search for her, and no one found anything.
Yeah.
Ever. And there were all these rumors that the government knew exactly what had happened, and that's why all these papers were mislabeled and hidden in different spots, and the pictures are in wrong spots because they can't throw anything away. Somebody will say something, so they labeled it wrong. It got into a box that no one would ever look in, and now somebody was thumbing through some shit and found it. But Amelia Earhart, there's no way in 1937 a woman stands in front of a bunch of dudes and says, I want to be the first woman to blah, blah, blah. Cute lady.
Yeah.
Get the fuck away from us. There's no way she would have gotten funding unless they had her up to something.
It is weird that they would just send someone, send a woman on a mission like that just because.
And they were
floating
her and her alone pretty much all over the place. Like, well, you want to do the Lindbergh flight for us? Sure, that'll be a nice figure thing. Yeah. That was a few years after Lindbergh already made it to Paris, the cross-Atlantic thing. She did that like 10 years later. It didn't matter anymore. It didn't matter. It's the WNBA of accomplishments. It's nothing. It had already been done. It had been done better. And then she gets captured by the Japanese, gives up all the secrets of Pearl Harbor. Yeah, we've got Hawaii. You guys know where Hawaii is? We're putting all our boats there. Nobody knows this. But you guys, it's a turkey shoot if you want to just go blow up half the United States Navy. Please stop hurting me. Yeah, it's a tragedy to make her a hero. Because if one thing's true, she either crashed a plane in a place that was so desolate they couldn't find her, or she got captured by the Japanese and spilled beans.
You're listening to HMS All Access on Podcast One.
It's time for This Week in HMS History, when we go back in time and dig into the archives, find a good clip from years ago. Toledo's found a great one for us. This week we go back to the Brady Report in 2006, when the guys found an interesting fact about the Bible.
And that many of the events in the Bible that seem unbelievable were probably the result of hallucinations.
This is the first time the Bible's made sense to me, Brady.
Some plants that are found in the Sinai Desert were frequently eaten or drank, and they would act like a narcotic. The person would experience psychedelic effects that they thought were religious visions. One of those plants found in the Sinai is the acacia tree.
Well, you look at Jesus and his friends. They look like the doors.
Well, they talk about the acacia tree in the Bible a lot. It was the tree that Noah used to build his ark.
Right.
And it just so happens to be that eating the bark of the acacia tree will cause you to hallucinate.
Do they have acacias here? Let's all get cranked out like Jesus on the acacia tree. What would Jesus do? He'd eat some bark and hallucinate.
A typical hallucination is actually seeing sounds, which the Bible mentions a couple of times.
Sweet.
Benny thinks it's logical that the book we've been reading for thousands of years might actually include accounts of what people saw when they were high.
I agree.
That's the first time the Bible has finally made sense to me. So basically,
I knew you would like this.
It's fear and loathing in Jerusalem. That's basically what we're dealing with here.
That explains everything.
It explains it all.
Hey, Bush.
Hi, Moses. What's going on, Paul? I'm on fire. Look at me.
Yeah, Bush is talking to me over there. I wrote on these tablets. I think God gave me these.
If he was hallucinating, I don't think he'd hike up the mountain, though.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
Depends on the drug.
All I wanted to do when I was at Larry's house that time, and it was secondary, was run.
Was exercise?
No, not exercise. Just keep walking, man. Scour the earth for clues.
Moses is walking into the water. He thinks he's parting the sea.
Hey, look at me,
man. Parting the sea, man.
Moses, get out of that puddle, dude. You're going to ruin your sandals. Not in a puddle. Look, man. The water is separating around me. And write this crap down. This is a miracle or something.
It would be bad
Turns
news.
Turns out we've just been worshiping
a
bunch of stoners for years.
He's got like three
Noah,
animals in a ship.
Yay. For Noah, it's not a bad deal.
I got like every animal in the world, girl and boy, on my boat.
Yeah,
why?
But you're instructed
flood,
to build
man.
It. Wait, you want me to chop down all the acacia trees I can?
It's his buddies in the upstairs.
Check it out. Watch it. Noah's freaking flying right now. Hey, Noah, this is God. Build a boat with all the trees in the yard. Yeah, all right. Put in every animal there is. Yeah, okay. Seriously, like every one of them. Girl and boy, so they don't die off. Even mosquitoes.
You're saving mankind, man.
It's going to be a great flood, man. Go turn the faucet on.
You are listening to HMS All Access on Podcast One.
You were talking about it this morning, working on a short week like this.
Not
you know,
brutal.
You think, like, you guys are on vacation, you come back, nice, three-day work week. This is great, but it's
impossible.
Even harder.
Yesterday was easy, and then the second day after a four-day weekend is, you don't know what day it is? My alarm went off at 4, and I haven't had this problem maybe ever since doing this. I couldn't open my eyes. They wouldn't open. They were like, no. There was a fight between being awake and my face. It hurt. Ugh. Like, opening my eyes was like, no. And I finally got them open, and I didn't want to get up. I must have had the snooze button 12 times this morning.
Yeah.
I'm still tired.
I don't know. I'm all thrown off by the week, too, because like yesterday, all of a sudden, you guys are doing Rock Wars. I'm like, what the hell
Wednesday.
Is Rock Wars on a Monday? Oh,
well, what
yeah.
stinks is tomorrow's going to end, and then the weekend happens again, and I'm still not reset. So I'm going to be up till 3 or 4 in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking off Friday trying to figure out how to get back on schedule.
Reset
so
your schedule.
Monday's going to be the hard one. Tomorrow I should be okay. Monday's going to be just miserable. Going back into a 5-day work week. Oh.
Yeah, especially a holiday like 4th of July when it's just like, hey, everybody drink outside, which is like in the summer, drinking outside. That's just exhausting.
Stand
work.
In the sun and have beer.
Yeah.
And just,
takes
just,
everything out of you.
Yeah, it's like running a marathon. And you stand in one spot and drink. It's like, Jesus, this is brutal. I'm so tired. I feel like I've worked out. Short work weeks are good in theory. Like 3-day weekends are good.
Yeah.
4-day weekends and going back to work are hard.
Yeah.
And I had to break before that, so I had like a 10-day thing. Mm.
I misery. Like that Eric called, said, you know, if, he said you should be the king of jobs.
Yeah.
Which I thought was funny. That seems like a title that Trump would come up with.
Yeah.
The king of jobs.
I think he is king of jobs.
King of jobs. Oh, yeah, he probably is.
Currently right now, just let everybody know, I'm the king of jobs now. If you need a job, you have to come to the king. I'll give you a job.
But Eric said that no one would ever work if you were king of jobs.
Well, no, that's not true. I wouldn't work if I were king of jobs, and everyone else's jobs would be better. But I do like the schedule. My scheduling plan is much better.
Okay.
If you're going to fuck around and give us 2 days off during the week, just give us the whole week off.
Yeah.
We're all done. There's nothing's going to get done. You know, Super Bowl, the next day nobody needs to come in. The whole country is fucked up. We're all talking about something other than work. Then nothing gets done. So just pick and choose the days where nothing gets done.
Right.
Like England does it. They like take months off.
Europe in general, they give you so much more time.
Because they recognize, look, you're fucking off so often.
Yeah.
There's no reason to make you just show up. So do your 8 hours, and when you need a couple months off, take it, and then come back and actually work. I remember being in Australia, and we were kayaking, and the only other people that took this excursion with us were these British people. Kayaking away, we get to know him, we're talking, and he said, so how long are you guys here? We're on day 7 of 12. 12 days, then what? Oh, then we have to fly home. Oh, you're going home. We have to go like a few more weeks there. No, I'm 12 days. That's a long trip for me. That's a long. Like, why? How long are you here? Oh, we're going to be in Australia for 4 weeks.
Oh, my God.
Like, did you retire? No, I've worked, but I've got my holiday for 4 weeks and then 1 week off to recover. So you're taking 5 weeks off?
Yeah.
And one of your weeks is a vacation from your vacation? Yeah.
Shit.
Like, how do I fucking become English immediately?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, they were blown away. They're like, well, you can't even see the country, can you? Well, we get to see plenty of it. Like, you've got to fly around every day. Yeah, we take a day or two, and then we go somewhere else. That's dreadful. And then we are kayaking. We're doing the exact same thing.
Yeah.
But he's doing it with so much more. I'm like, we got to get over to that fucking island, get back, because our flight's at 7:30, and we got to get over to Brisbane. We'll be in Brisbane in a couple of weeks. We're going to do a little here in Cairns. And dude was thrilled by it. I'm like, fuck, that's better.
He is right in a way where it's like, we have these short vacations, so it's like we have to do as much as possible, and it ends up being work instead of just being able to just
vacations
mosey around
10 times and, more, and then you're tired from your vacation.
Right.
It's brutal. So, and everybody's like, well, good old American. No, we got snowed on that deal. That was our ancestors and stuff saying, hard work is the way. All these other countries are failing because we're not working as hard as we are. Like, yeah, fuck vacations. Vacations are for pussies and Europeans. And I'm like, all right, whatever. I always hate the people who are like, I haven't taken a vacation in 7 years.
That sounds miserable.
You're just afraid someone's going to take your job. I'm convinced that if you're afraid to leave your job for a few days, you know there's a guy like better than you waiting
I'm
to take
replaceable.
It. You are very replaced. So the people who don't take vacations are the ones who are like, you're bragging to yourself. What you're really saying is, I'm afraid someone will steal my job.
HMS All Access Podcast 1. You're listening to HMS All Access on Podcast 1.
Okay, so we were joking about it the other day, but like if Twitter was invented way before its time and, you know, old people, historical figures had Twitter and like what their hashtags would be.
Give me old, what
scenarios.
You've got, but give me old people.
Yeah. So,
right.
Jesus, the night before
man.
He's crucified.
Oh man.
And Judas too. Judas's Twitter as well.
Just something passive aggressive maybe
yeah,
from Jesus,
out,
like,
yeah. Subtweeting
dinner
man.
With friends. So nice. Everyone's on my team. Question mark. Hashtag
like
loyalty.
Hashtag loyalty.
Yeah, that's what Jesus would put out. And Judas would put out...
Just stumbled into 30 shillings and
Yeah, got 30 shillings and nothing to do. Then champagne emoji. And then things aren't always as they seem. Hashtag Watch Me Now.
Watch Me Now.
I just stumbled into 30 shillings is solid. Silver Piece is burning a hole, bitches. Hashtag gotta get mine.
All right, how about Princess Diana?
Oh.
Her Twitter.
I love Paris in August. Hashtag can't wait to come back.
Lovely night for a car
yeah,
ride.
Yeah. Hashtag going fast turns me on.
Need for speed.
Hashtag right, need for speed. Getting out of Paris tonight. Can't wait to get home. Yeah. Hashtag need for speed. Hashtag step on it.
Old-timey hashtags.
Old-timey hashtags.
You can think of some really good ones.
Really good ones.
Like, God, like I just do. Really, imagine if Twitter was really around during those
times. Lincoln's
like,
hashtag, wife's making me go, shoot me. Hashtag shoot me.
Hashtag shoot me. That's it right there, yeah. Mary Todd's making us go
like
to the theater
Mary
tonight.
Todd's making us do a thing tonight. Hashtag shoot me.
Okay, so like...
So we take horrible events give it a Twitter page.
And imagine if they had
And
Twitter.
If it was today. If all these events happened in the days of Twitter, the insensitivities of the people. It's brilliant. It's got to happen.
Right. I just imagine, like... God.
Yeah. Name your historical fact and then tweet it. Hashtag crawl space smells. John Wayne Gacy.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, that would be John Wayne Gacy's whole Twitter account would be like, anybody have any life hacks for scents?
Hashtag, trying to get rid of some
hashtag
smells.
Hashtag crawl space stinks.
That's awful. Oh, my God.
It's great because the insensitive nature of the internet and everything else
lays
on us.
Twitter is so evil at times and so mean. And, like, you're constantly, like, could you imagine the crying Jordans going out, you know, of everybody? Like
Hitler's Twitter would be
Hitler's Twitter would be ridiculous, right?
Because like, it would be, like,
Stalin's
keeping it real.
Twitter.
Hashtag keeping it real would be his thing. Just keeping it real. Hashtag just keeping it real. It's just silly how fucking dumb Twitter is, and you realize it when you put it in context of real world events,
right?
And how history, like today's era, 50, 70 years from now, will be looked back on, and Twitter will be part of it. Now there's a recorded.
Everybody's got
and
their
evidently
opinion.
Evidently, it's like the only thing we gave a fuck about was Harambe and like NBA championships. I mean, that's when we really, you know.
3-1 leads in Harambe.
If there's 3-1 lead was huge on Twitter. And then Sully landing that plane. If anything happens to where we kind of have a thing where we got to look back and we got to figure history out, looking back at Twitter is going to confuse the shit out of future generations because they won't have, like, wow, they really cared about a lot. Nothing bad was happening to these people. A gorilla got killed.
I can't believe they freaked out over these llamas running around. Town so bad.
They lost their shit if a cow got loose in a city. Fuck, they loved food. Food
a
was a big deal to them. They must not have had a lot of food. That's what they're going to think of us in the future. They must not have had food too often because they celebrate the shit out of their fucking food. I hope a spaceship lands after the whatever happens, the Paris Accord obliterates us. I don't know what to believe. And a spaceship lands and then gets our – the one guy's Twitter is, still has a charge – and he looks like, oh, wow, yeah. No, they didn't eat. There was no food. No food. Something called LeBron James.
They worshipped this gorilla.
This gorilla was their god. Harambe. He was their god. And evidently he was assassinated. So much like – so the Jesus story begins again, except for now there's a monkey laying in a cage. And the worst part is Kylie Jenner is going to be considered some sort of like prophet. It'd be one of Harambe's prophets.
Yeah,
because
the people
she has
with the
more
most
followers.
Twitter followers.
Yeah, the
like,
followers.
Yeah.
Oh, wow,
well, it
big.
Looks like Kim Kardashian and Katy Perry were the most influential people in
ever,
the world.
Ever. There was nothing before them.
Right.
Yeah. It's craziness.
HMS All Access Podcast 1. HMS All Access presents Breaking Brady. Because what you see is not always real.
Charlie.
Braids, John, back at it again. This is something that, John, you have brought up in the past before. You've mentioned that it's happened, and I saw it for the first time yesterday.
Uh-oh.
Of Brady avoiding hugging larger woman.
Yes. You witnessed what he claims is a non-existent thing.
Yes. He says it doesn't happen, but...
And what did you see me do?
I did see it one time. You hugged her first. You...
I came out and gave her a big fat hug. And I gave David Brady Bogan the side eye. Like, look how easy it is.
Now, Brady, I'm guessing that you don't agree with John's memory.
Everyone gets hugs for the most part. There is no... I'm a universal huggist.
Oh,
universal huggist? Okay. Yeah. Well, I've only seen it the one time. That was the one time I've seen it, and it was pointed out to me.
Oh, I've seen it so often.
But I did, you know, I did do the handshake. I kind of knew it.
You had no idea. I know. He's playing the Nostradamus. Nobody's watching. I didn't
because
see
it's like, oh my gosh, what's he going out there doing?
By the way, no one was watching you except Charlie in the hallway.
Well, Charlie.
And
Eric
Charlie came in and said,
Eric called it. He was Eric like, watch,
we all saw before. He's not going to hug her.
Yeah.
And nobody was, you play it like you had it all mapped out.
Man, did I play it like
Deion Sanders?
Reading the book,
just
open a page
two. You shook her hand.
And then what do I do? Talk to her, lovely lady.
Yeah. Nobody says you never talk to him.
Yeah.
Nobody
and
says
hug
you're
her
not
after
cordial.
I met
you
him.
Hug her after I hug her because I broke the ice and gave you the look like you son of a bitch.
No.
I've seen you manhandle good-looking women. I've seen why it happens.
He came out
your
there because, like,
does
it. He was threatened by the fan.
There's no threat. Trust me. None.
So,
no threat.
John,
I go, I've seen it 100 times and I know where he gets it. Your grandfather, Torp, went to one of my band shows and was just hugging the shit out of every good-looking girl. He does it to my wife. Let me get another one of those from you.
Oh,
and he grabs Megan and gives her double.
That
happens. Double and triple squeezes on Megan. And he used to do it to my ex-wife,
too. We're just huggers.
You hug good-looking women, and then the big ones get a nice fist bump. That best one ever was the lady came in and gave us.
True.
That is so fucking true.
That
I can
is
bring
not
in
true.
Five witnesses. This big girl came in. You hugged her friend. She came around the corner. What's up? And you're doing that weird kind of strange, I'm excited because there's a hug. And he fist bumps the next
happened.
Person that came in the door.
That might have happened.
He fist bumped the next lady that came in, and we're like, wow. It's just, it's
so now,
after
they brought that up,
hilarious.
You know, that part, and that might have happened, you know, maybe there was something that like, oh,
it was
I do, you know, again, not everyone, because there are certain people that you're like, I don't think they want to hug, or they don't like to
not
hug.
A straw
and that
man.
Could be a misread.
Not a straw man.
On there. So I try to make a habit, if I'm hugging one, I hug all.
Well.
Okay.
And I make sure that with these goons right back here that watch every move that you do, that I got to make sure I'll hug everyone.
Being defensive, is why we keep an eye on you, because we want to prove to you first
I don't
what we
change
all
who
know.
I am,
that's
Charlie,
right, you don't
just
have to.
Because
you hug hot girls.
I'll hug everyone.
That's right, he hugs hot girls and he fist bumps the pigs. It's been, and it wasn't something where like, hey, let's make up this crazy story. It'll be great. We'll all stand by it, and Brady will make him think. No, we all notice it. Like, do you ever notice that Brady never hugs the big girls? He always just, he hugs the hot girls every time. He's like,
you know, that one fist
every
bump.
Every time.
You don't go for a hug when they throw the fist bump up there. You know, I wasn't going to swat it out of the way. Oh, okay. You don't want a little Brady? Fine. Because there's plenty of Brady to go around
to
these ladies.
So she went for the fist bump
first.
She stuck her
hand.
She did it to me, too. She put her hand up for shake. I'm like, not with me, sister. All hugs, and I hugged the big girl. And I looked at Brady the whole time. He's like,
so I, you know, this is where you get lawsuits.
How are you doing it?
Not me. No, because you know why? Because you know why?
The fist bump out. I'm not going to break that. That's
because
what
you
wanted.
Because you know why? I don't get sued because I don't make my hugs sexual like you do, because it's hot girls.
You know,
little dog humps.
And then, hey, fat ass!
Plunk, fist bump.
I have to change my shorts after it. It just gets so
I give a lady a nice hug. It's not sexual. It's a greeting.
Yeah,
doesn't have to be all excited and weird because it did. That's when
the
time we noticed it is when I was like, what's up, ladies? And you turned into this nutball and you hugged the one girl that came in.
Yeah,
and you did this clap like you were Drew Haybatter again, and then fist bump the next one. We're all like, he's doing it in front of two.
You know what? I don't go out of my way to single someone out.
Unless they're really hot.
There's been times where I've hugged a bigger person and not
now,
the
what
hot
I've told
person
you
because,
is,
again, reading that person probably doesn't want to hug.
Now, I remember what you're talking about when I said I wouldn't hug. It's like the hot girl hugs you could get away with because you were always silly about it. If I went up and just hugged
innocent.
People, I don't have that silly, weird thing.
You're worried about you see it being all creepy.
This is awkward. They might, that it might feel that I'm being creepy.
And
now,
I think
I
I've paved the way for you.
No.
On that.
I can no.
I've taught you some things.
No, you haven't taught me anything about hugging hot women. I know how to hug a hot girl.
This guy's so ingrate.
I just know that a hot girl knows that when I'm hugging her, there's a reason. When you're hugging her, it's to feel her up, but she thinks it's non-threatening kind of grandpa hug. So when I do it, there's like, oh, this guy might get hard, and I'll feel it. And that's true. So I kind of avoid the hot girl hugs because it's awkward. Brady does it because he's got that silly kind of Farley reputation and like, it's kind of cute when he does it. I don't have that
reputation. Have to. And here's another thing. Mm-hmm. I don't have to go up and hug the girls. You know why? Because there's something in its physique and build
they come up to you most of the time and want to hug you.
They want to hug me. It's cuddly. Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree with that. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
So
if I ever start to
It's not like I go out stalking for hugs.
Yeah.
I get
Do you know who wants to hug you? Big girls. But they just get those fist bumps or the pat on the other, like tap them on the forehead. I watched them do that once. Here, plop, plop, finger to the forehead.
That's as close as I'll get. You need to lose weight.
Would you say that what you saw yesterday is what John is talking about?
Not to the extent with where it's like the fist bump thing, the story where the girls came in with the, and you gave him the fist bump.
But it certainly wasn't a gracious greeting like he would if, like, this woman came out.
I mean, it wasn't like a...
It was kind.
He
was kind, but it wasn't anything more than just like meeting a man.
It was just funnier because I'm standing in the back of the studio with Eric, and he's like, watch this, your uncle won't hug her.
Right.
And he didn't.
It's hard. You know, it was hard to hug her, too, with all the blades in my back.
Oh,
blades coming from the room.
Blades in your back?
It's just unbelievable.
Why is it such a bad thing? I thought you said this was totally normal. What's a blade in your back? I'm like, he's not hugging her.
No, I can only imagine.
Why is it a blade in your back when it was 100% accurate?
It wasn't.
And we said, I went in there. Eric said he won't hug her, and you didn't.
But I did hug her.
More to it.
I did hug her.
Not
and
to,
had nothing
not
to do
hello.
With you about you going out there and hugging
her. The difference
is
if that was a hot girl and said, this girl's a listener, and so,
there's sometimes I take the approach where they want the hug because she came in after talking to her one time. She came in like, oh, okay. She wanted, because she's like, it's really nice to meet you. Mm-hmm. So then afterwards, I gave her the hug. Sometimes I open with the hug. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I close it with
the
hug.
And he opens with a hug when she's hot. He closes with a hug when she's a pig, but she's been nice.
I hugged her at the end.
You did hug her at the end. But
it's also because I put the pressure on. Blades
no
in my
pressure.
Back. When I gave her the big hug and looked at you and just shook my head, like, can't you greet a woman respectfully rather than,
mayonnaise lady. I'm not touching your mayonnaise-coated hands, hog.
Are there any other, like,
but now John's hugger, I've got to.
Any other requirements for hugs? Like, does like is there anything that disqualifies a girl from getting a hug?
White?
Sure.
Like, where's
on anyone.
On
this is not. This is girl.
White.
Did you say?
That's the other requirement.
I was going to say, like, on a scale of 1 to 10, like, if you rate
scale
girl,
of 1
scale
to white.
10, like, what are the...
Here's some requirements,
and
it doesn't matter.
Indian sand.
He made it racist,
and a scale of Benjamin Moore's paper white to Indian sand. Which ones want
oh
your
my
hug?
Oh, God.
And he also invites all the black guests to his barbecue place and hardly any of the white people. But all the black people are getting an invite, which is smart business because blacks love the barbecue.
Yeah.
But like occasionally.
So, you know, Brady, you have
the,
like these
the
tendencies.
Vegan, the vegan comedian, I'm probably not going to throw out to.
Right.
Or the comedian that I get a vibe that's not necessarily a foodie or something.
But all the blacks that are
probably
not like a barbecue fan.
There's probably some there's a stereotype going on there.
Huge.
Yeah. So it seems like you do have these tendencies, you know, when you meet people, whether it's, you know, larger women, you go up and you don't hug them, but you hug the hot ones. And then when it comes to comedians, you invite the black ones to your barbecue restaurant and maybe the other ones don't. I was kind of blown away by the fact that I saw that yesterday.
You witnessed
I was more blown away that Eric called it.
It's an easy
it
call.
Happened.
It's an easy call. That's
you
because
sort of
it's
it
always.
Happen.
It's an easy call.
So that was it was fairly impressive on his part, and then it happened, and I thought it was
funny. He jumped the gun.
Did he?
No, he didn't.
Yeah.
We're not talking about eventually.
Maybe the wager was
no, it's when you meet them.
On the opener.
It's when you meet them.
I didn't open.
You will hug a girl who's hot you've just met, and you won't hug an ugly girl you've just met. We've witnessed it for years. It's great fun for us. It's hilarious. Now it's out there, so you've tried a little harder. Like, I've seen you choke down a couple of fat girl hugs.
Oh, it's epic.
It's brutal.
It's fucking medicine. I'd rather get a shot in the eye.
It's like he's getting an epidural.
It doesn't matter where the hug's coming from, Charlie. I like...
You like the hugs no matter what?
Yeah, if people want to give a hug, that's good. I think it's healthy. But you ask if there's a deal breaker or things that... Sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, obviously... People
it's tough to hug somebody with horrendous breath or...
Yeah, you got to get pretty close to
body odor. They're filthy.
Sure, yeah.
That's a tougher hug.
Hygienic stuff. Yeah, I get that. That makes sense.
And in Brady's mind, and he said this before... skinnier, prettier women are usually
gigantic.
More hygienic, and sweaty, fat pigs are gross to hug. That's
oh
what he's
goodness.
Told me. I've heard him say it, and he's right. And he's
dark
right.
Dark skinned, I hate it.
Dark skin sweats harder.
Jumbo, just
yeah. And black people smell like cocktail sauce and socks, and that's what he's told me.
So,
I hate it.
Look, it's fucking weird, and I'm with him. But I'm not the one who says I hug everybody equally.
So how do we fix this? Is this is it fixable? Is this something that's just he'll
just
forever
sit
be this
back
way?
And enjoy it.
It is
it's been
fixable,
going on for
Charlie,
52
it's
years.
It's fixable.
It's fixable. Okay, let's hear it.
It's make sure that I open up with a hug with everyone. Yeah.
You got to realize the microscope's on you.
But again, like you said earlier,
which isn't a tough order for me.
What
it's
you said
not
earlier
a hard
was,
fix
I'm
going to
be myself and don't change for that. Do what you've been doing for years, which is alienating the chunks and hugging the hot girls, which I admire. I admire that. Nobody knows it except us. The girl who's getting hugged is like happy about it, and the girl, the fat pigs, who's getting a handshake, she's like, "Well, I don't know any different. At least being nice."
I don't see it that
smells
way.
Like mayonnaise.
Hugs are healthy.
That's it for this week's episode. Thanks for listening. Remember, you can send your emails, a comment on the show. Let me know what you want to hear. Send those over to charlie@98kupd.com. For anything else, Holmberg's Morning Sickness and 98kupd, you can head over to 98kupd.com and check all that out there. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to HFMS All Access on Podcast One.